In Jesus' name, amen.
By the offering box, you'll find this. It's how we did in 2025 and compared it to 2024. But on the top page is an unexpected cost for the church. And I tried everything in my mind to cut that down. I called other suppliers and everything. They would not touch it, so we're stuck with it. So it's just an unexpected expense. And if the Lord calls you to help us out with it, going forward, it'd be great. All right? Our sprinkler system. It's all the stuff that you have to fix, or else our wonderful government can shut us down. So it's no way out. So what?
Didn't we just get that fixed?
No, it's a new thing they found. The sprinkler system. It actually has to do with the backflow. When you have a sprinkler system, you have a backflow system. And actually, I got another supplier in from our company to come here, and they said, you know what, Byron? We might be able to cut the cost, but unfortunately, we'll have to do the inspection all over again and charge you for that. You're better off just staying with who you are. So that's enough said about that. God's our provider. God's our, the one that takes care of us. And God is your provider in Jesus' name. Amen? Amen? An unusual thing. I'll get to it later. But this morning, the men are highlighted. And men, if you're out in the hallway, anybody out there in the hallway, you need to come in, because this message is primarily for the men, also includes the women. So you're not left out. So if you're in the hallway, you need to be come in here and be part of this. All right? I'm going to start with, before we get into the meat of this thing, with my own journey. And I came to know Jesus at work, at the workplace. And as soon as I encountered Jesus at the workplace, and I had a lot of messy stuff in my life that need, I love the song, Break the Chains, Break the Chains. I needed chains broken off of my life, all right? So at work, I prayed to give my life to Jesus, got in my car, went home, and my mother said, what are you doing home? I said, going to the farm. And he said, why are you going to the farm? I said, I can't talk about it. I'm going to the farm. And this is the first trip for years and years of owning this farm. I would go to the farm, an unbeliever, wrapped up in the world, doing everything the world does. But this time, my trip included bringing a Bible with me. And I sat there at home at the farmhouse. And I tell you, but the farm, living in this area, the farm is like leaving this area and going to the wilderness. Because at the farm, there was no TV, no telephone, no, just a house in a very remote area. And I opened up the Word of God. And I could not come home until actually reading the whole New Testament. And coming upon things in that Word that I had to stop and cry. And say, God, I have so failed in life. And some of these verses, because my parents brought me to a Christian school, and I use the word force to memorize. I didn't like it, but I had to do it, because if I didn't do it, I'd be embarrassed amongst my peers. But now, as a newborn believer in Jesus, all of a sudden, reading the whole New Testament, I remember that. And wow, it means so much more to me than years ago as a junior higher having to memorize it. Then it was just a chore to memorize. Now it was life. Life to me. Well, I learned some things over time. And being as old as I am, I kind of sitting there, I said, man, oh man, this is like over 50 years ago. I can't believe I could say 50 years ago, wow. But I made future journeys to the farm, to the wilderness place, separating myself from all the noise of the world, from all the news and all of what's going on. It was just me and God. Now, something interesting about those times when I was at the farm is today we got side-by-sides, four-wheelers. I love to go, brrrr, I go all over the place. But back then we had nothing. Nothing like that. I had a horse that, really, I can't believe how horses can be so personable. But that horse, when I drive up and I'd rev my engine and park by the farmhouse, that horse, no matter where it was, would run. And probably it's because he was coerced, but I always brought apples with me. And the horse would run to the fence, and I would feed the horse an apple. And so if I really wanted to, I could saddle that horse up and ride. But for the most part, my journeys to the farm meant to go to different places, the bluffs, the high hills, the little spring that we had a pipe coming out that I called Jacob's Well, and I would drink the water there coming fresh out of the springs from under the earth. And then there was a hard way to leave that place. Easy way was to go one way, the hard way was to go the other way and climb up all these rocks and things and all these obstacles to get to the top of the hill. The point is, back then, anywhere I wanted to go on the farm, I had to walk. No ATVs, no fast-moving things. I had to walk. Thinking about that, and thinking about what I wanted to share, mostly to the men, but also includes the women. There's something in the scripture that we need to get a hold of that maybe I forgot, but God was calling it to my memory, that walking with Jesus, taking the first steps with him, and the reality of that. Because when I'd walk around the farm, when I take the hard places and the easy places and walk to the highest point. Because in Greene County, where the farm is, we have the highest elevation in that whole county and the lowest elevation in the whole county. So it's quite a thing to be going from the bottom land to the top land. And actually, that journey, because the frontage on the farm, the frontage, I took my car to find out, it's a mile long. So going from the lowest point and hiking up to the highest point is about a mile. A little less because that mile goes back downhill on the other side. But I had to walk. But the walking was very different than when I used to go to the farm as an unbeliever. And now I'm at the farm as a believer. The walk and my walking was with Jesus. And there was something about walking. The scripture talks about, you know, exercise and keeping strong and working with the barbells and all. which I have bought those things. I never use them. But taking care of your physical body has a benefit. Has a benefit. But feeding your soul and your spirit has a benefit that is even greater. You know, in point. One time, Jesus visited Martha and Mary, and the choice was, do you spend time at Jesus' feet, or you just spend your time involved with preparation? Walking with Jesus. And that's what we're going to kind of look into this morning. And ahead of time, you know what? If you are here this morning and you're burdened down with the impossible, maybe it's financial, maybe it's relationships, maybe it's addictions, maybe no matter what it is, at the end of this, I want to encourage you. I'm getting ahead of myself. I want to encourage men, especially. When you find out what's in the Word of God, I want to encourage you to start walking. Walking with Jesus. Take a walk and bear your soul to Him. Because believe me, in Scripture, there is a connection between walking and hearing. And in this walking with Jesus, it bear your soul to Him, but open your ears to what He says. Walking. What does Scripture talk about walking? Walking with our God. I have to open it up with Genesis chapter 5. Enoch walked faithfully with God. Then he was no more because God took him away. Well, men, we might be walking when the rapture takes place. You may be walking and enjoying His presence, and who may be bearing all your heart and soul to Him, and immediately you're gone. Enoch walked faithfully with God, and God took him from this place and brought him into heaven. So, walking, you know what? I'm glad that word is there because it's walking and connecting. Walking and connecting and bearing your soul before God Almighty and opening up your whole heart to Him. Opening up your impossibles to His possible. Galatians 5 says, "So I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not gratify the desires of your flesh. For the flesh desires what is contrary to the Spirit, and the Spirit contrary with the flesh. They are in conflict with each other, so that you are not to do whatever you want, but you are to be led by the Spirit. You are not under the law." You are not under the law. What's key here? Key here, and I'm glad, here's that word pops up again. Walk by the Spirit. Walk by the Spirit, and then you'll not gratify your flesh. And that has to do, the flesh has everything to do with, you know, addictions and things that are mountains that you can't pass. Relationships broken, and all this stuff that's going on in your life, and you want your kids to get together, you want your family together, you want everything connected, but you don't know how to do it. And it says, walk in the Spirit, walk in the Spirit. You know what? You know what? Sometimes the church says, get it together, brother, and then you can have the Spirit. Why don't you get your life together? Why don't you have victory over this? Why don't you do this and do that and do this? And then you have a connection with the Spirit. The Word of God says just the opposite. Connect with the Spirit, and then you will not satisfy the desires of your flesh. How does that happen? It's in the same verses. How does that happen? How does it happen? If you're led by the Spirit, you're not under law. You're under grace. You're in that place. You're in that place where you can, with confidence, go to your Heavenly Father. Now, why that confidence go to Heavenly Father? Because you know that you know that you know your Heavenly Father loves you with a passionate love, with a love that cannot be broken. So, walk in the Spirit. That walking again. Now, what I'm trying to tell you, men especially, can you take a little bit of time of your day and just get out of your house, not hop in your car, not turn the news on, not, and then take a little walk. Take a little walk and walk in the Spirit. Walk in the Spirit. The walk is not just physically helping you out, but spiritually transforming your life. Bear your soul to Him. You know, with things that are the impossibles in your life, come to that place. I believe the impossibles in your life are possible. Walk. Walk with Him. And I'm telling it's for the women too. But God is just saying, this is for the men in this church to take a moment to walk and bear your soul before Jesus, before your Heavenly Father that loves you. Loves you passionately. He knows everything about what we're going through and all the difficulties we're going through. He knows it all. So you can just, in fact, you can, even if you're struggling some things and things are not working out for you, you can even tell Him how you're mad about it. And He'll know. Because this Jesus that we know, He was tempted in every imaginable way that we could ever be tempted and won the victory. So Jesus is your victory. You're not your victory. He's the one. And wow, take a walk. Take a walk. You know what? It was 50 years ago that I was walking with Jesus at the farm. And now 50 years later, you think I'd know better? But as I was preparing this message, I said, Byron, you got to get walking. You know? So I want to let you know, when I'm talking to you, I'm talking to me. I'm talking to me. That rather than wrapped up in all the stuff that's going on in the world, I need to pause, get out of the house, take a walk, and bear my soul before Him. Second Corinthians 5:7, and some versions say, for we live by faith, not by sight. NIV says, we walk by faith and not by sight. So this walk we're walking on, men especially, women too. Take a walk. And don't be afraid of the things you don't see changing in your life. But bear it to Him. Things are not working out for me like I like them to work out, Lord. Father God, there's just so many obstacles in my life. Then the Holy Spirit would say, yeah, I know that. Speak to that mountain, it'll be leveled. Walk. And for some of us, it may be just that first step. We walk by faith, not by sight. Micah, he has shown you, O mortal, what is good, and what does the Lord require of you? To act justly, love mercy, and to walk humbly with your God. You know what? Sometimes in this walk, and when we're walking, we have to get rid of the things that I'll do it. Especially as men, we like to handle things ourselves. I'll handle that. I'll take care of that. I'll do that. Humility says, I'm dependent on somebody else. Fully dependent. Righteously dependent. And say, God, I'm going to just say, I can't do it. I am struggling. I can't do it. I've got to, Father, I've just got to yield this to you. Not only yield to you, but I've got to believe. I've got to have faith that you can do it. You're the one. I humbly walk before you, walking. Isaiah says, but those who hope in the Lord will renew their strength. They will soar up like wings of eagles. They will run and not grow weary. They will walk and not faint. You know what's amazing about renewing strength? It's taking your weakness and bring it for him. Say, God, I'm giving you my weakness. Guys, it's sometimes hard to admit that we're weak about something. Paul had to humble himself. Paul was all about his thorn in the flesh, and he said, hey, Paul, my grace is sufficient for you. My strength is perfected in your weakness. Don't let the enemy give you fear to just tell God, open it up and say, in your walk, I'm walking, that Lord, I can't change. I am so weak. And then God's strength will be revealed. Walking. 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 Guess what? Sometimes in a busy world, you might say to yourself, I don't know when I'll find time. I'm asking you guys, men and women, make the time to walk. Take that time. Bare your soul. Open your whole life before him that's very familiar with everything that's going on with you. Because Jesus, he was tempted in every imaginable way. And that qualified him and had victory that qualified his blood to cleanse you from all unrighteousness. Take a walk. And then You know what? I love the point he says, you'll run and not be weary, but you'll walk and not faint. You know, these are very descriptive words. And sometimes, you know when sometimes people faint when they get either really good news or really bad news, and then their knees buckle and they fall down to the ground. I'm asking you and me to spiritually fall down to the ground before Him and confess our weakness. On the walk, while we walk, take a walk. Take a walk with Jesus. I'm talking to myself, because 50 years ago I was learning this, walking around all over 300 acres in Indiana. And I'm learning now, again, that God is resurrecting this in my life. Byron, I want you to take more walks with me. I want you to bear your soul to me. I want you to open up all your life to me, because I want to be your strength. I want to be your strength. First John 1:7. But if we walk in the light as He is in the light, we have fellowship with one another, and the blood of Jesus, His Son, purifies us from all sin. So if it's a sin problem, spend time walking in the light. Take your walk, and enjoy His presence. Enjoy it. Hunger for it. Those who hunger and thirst after righteousness, they will be satisfied. You will find out the answers to the things that you're struggling with so greatly. You'll find it in a walk with Jesus, walking with Jesus, walking in the light, and that the God that you walk with will purify you, cleanse you, and remind you of the gift of righteousness that you possess if you know Him. If you know Him. God is... I was thinking of all the things that happened to me 50 years ago as a fairly new believer, getting acquainted with walking with Jesus. Walking with Jesus meant I had a passion for the younger generation. And I didn't quite know what to do with it, but God moved me. I went to the pastor of the church, and I said, "Hey, pastor, what would you have me do? I'll do anything. What you got for me? I'm here. Use me." Pastor smiled. I said, "I got just a job for you. Junior high boys. They had amazing amount of people quitting their ministry with junior high boys." And he said, "Byron, I think you're the guy. You're asking me you'll do anything? I'm giving you the junior high boys of this church." I didn't know what to expect, but I learned one thing, never turn your back on junior hires. You know what happened to me one Sunday? I turned my back to go out, write something on the board, and all of a sudden, plop, 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 a bunch of spitballs. They didn't hit me, but they hit the board. And I turned around and I said, "Hey, guys, wow, look at that. You know what? Guys, I really think that I can see all of you guys praying. So we're going to quit the lesson today. Let's all get on our knees and spend a whole hour talking to Jesus. Because and really, I mean, it was amazing how these little teenage junior high boys all got by their chairs and all. And I said, you know what? Prayer, wow, it's not up to me. Hey, guys, every one of you guys are going to just pray. And I could hear this little voice, one boy said, oh, Lord, well, confession is good for a soul. Lord, forgive me for throwing a spitball at my teacher. You know, so it's and but then you know these boys were moving into high school, and then all of a sudden, in my walk with Jesus, all of a sudden I got called in the church office and says, you know what, you did okay with these junior high boys. Now we're moving to high school. A little different. They know how to disguise their little stuff a little better than junior high boys. But here I am, but now it's boys and girls. And I started out with a handful. Maybe 6 or 7 high schoolers. And knowing how I love the outdoors, we'd be in this little room in a church, and I said, hey, guys, opposite the church, there's a little park. I said, how about us going out of this building here and go in the park, and let's have Sunday school in the park, where other people walking around could hear what's going on. And we did this. But then finally, this became impossible because over time, investing my life in Jesus to high school kids, it went from 7 to 10 to 20 to 50. And all of a sudden, I was like, I can't believe it, but now we got the whole basement of the church. And there's like 50, 60 teenagers that I'm talking to every Sunday. And then, amazing thing, because just walking with Jesus, believing Jesus, allowing Jesus to transform my life. Taking my weaknesses and allowing him to develop his strength in my weaknesses. And as I was fully engaged with high school students, this woman came into my life because all of a sudden I was invited to speak to the college kids of the church on a retreat. And God orchestrated that and said, you know what? So I was leaving the house. My dad says, hey, next week we're having this Valentine's thing at the public school here, and you need to bring a date. I wasn't dating anybody, but I was with all these college students at minimum 10 years younger than me. And all of a sudden, this beautiful woman came into my life. Walking with Jesus. Just walking with Jesus. The journey's been good, and it's been amazing walking with Jesus, and all of a sudden now having 3 children in our life. And kind of the best way I could as a father, taking some of them to the farm back where I started this walk with Jesus and took them there one at a time and helped them to see how important it is to walk with Jesus. walking with Jesus. You know what? I didn't know what I was going to do when I got up here, but now I know. Now I know. Because next week, part two. But I want to close with this very important scripture dealing with walking. And I want to encourage you guys, you know what? Please, I'm not making a law out of this or anything, but if God is speaking to you this morning and you have impossibles in your life, and I know you do because all of us do. We have these impossibles in life. I want to encourage you. I want to encourage you to take the time, get out of the house, and take a walk with Jesus. You know, on the farm, one of the ones, it became an acceleration as I was walking with Jesus at the farm and walking up and down the hills and everything else. And one time I was climbing up all the way to the top of the highest part elevation of the farm. And all of a sudden, not only was I talking with Jesus, but I had a sense that he was walking right next to me. And as I reached the top of the hill, just as it was heading down, three of my horses were there. And all of a sudden, for no reason at all, they got restless. And while I know that I know he was actually walking with me, is because as soon as I said, "Jesus, you're scaring my horses," I felt a different feeling, like he was not there, like walking. And immediately, as soon as that happened, the horses settled down. So I went over them. I love petting horses' noses. Not humans, just horses, right? And they're so soft and velvety and everything. And I went to my three horses and I said, "Hey guys, it was only Jesus. You didn't have to be so riled up." And you know, these kind of conversations, I actually, when doing these things and me going through this process, it's called intimacy with your God. Just you can talk freely. You could bear all your heart to him. You can say, "Lord, relationships are messed up. Heal them. I'm sick. Heal me. I have needs. Heal them." And then the Holy Spirit. This is why it's important to know the Word of God. Because as you bear your soul to him, what the Holy Spirit will do is bring his Word to you for the very thing you're asking him for. Now, when that comes, that's our choice time. We walk by faith, not by sight. Not overwhelmed with the circumstances, but filled with the truth of what he says. Walking with Jesus. Psalms 119. Your word is a lamp. A lamp. In the darkest times of your life, God's word is your lamp. No matter what difficulty you're going through, no matter how long you've waited for God to answer, his word is your lamp. It illuminates truth that we must believe. But it doesn't end there. Your light to my path. I guess when I learn when I'm walking with Jesus, there's a path ahead of me. And that path may have its knowns and unknowns. But he'll bring light that I'll choose and see and know the right path. His word is a lamp, and it's a light unto my path. Guys, in closing, and you know what? I just feel like a good time of just a worship before we go into prophetic. So you guys, worship leader, guys, you can come on up here. It's you know what? I want to know that I know. I want to know that I know God's word. I want to know that I've come in a place to believe God's word. And I want to know and ask him that keep me walking on the right path. Because he'll illuminate that to me. So I guess the choice for me, is, am I going to choose the truth of what God's word says to me? Am I going to take that lamp and hold it and make it a real close part of my life? Knowing that he'll illuminate, that he's a light to my path, and when I choose that path, it'll be the right thing. Or do I want my own way, do my own thing, don't want to hear from God, don't want to get him involved with this, and I want to do it myself. Guys, men, that path is full of darkness. It's like it says, I've lost my way. He's the lamp. The word of God is your lamp. He's the light. Your path. Your life choices. He'll take care of your fears. He'll do abundantly more than you ask or think. He'll transform our life. And the list goes on. I choose. Men, I want you to choose. Take that walk. And take the word of God and allow it to illuminate your path. In Jesus' name.